good to see everybody. We'll go ahead and get started tonight, and let's go to the Lord in prayer. I was over there earlier, and come at 6 o'clock, and there's a lot of children and a lot going on, and let's just pray the Lord speaks to hearts this week and helps all the teachers. Some of them has a easier job than others. Some of them has a harder job, and let's just pray for all the teachers tonight, all the children, the Bible school. Does anybody have anything they want to mention before we pray tonight? All right.
Judy and Norman's home.
Judy and Norman's home, and little Karis got to go home, the little baby, so thank the Lord for that. That's a blessing.
Just keep praying for him. Stay healthy.
Yeah. Let's remember her. I'm sure she'll be all right now. All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I'll ask Brother Rodney if he would to lead us in prayer before we start.
Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, we just thank you for the many blessings that you give us. And Lord, we just pray for this church, and Lord, we just pray for this Bible school this week, and Lord, you just be all with all the young ones, Lord, you just be with them and help them, and Lord, maybe one of them might be saved, and Lord, you just maybe they come to know you. Lord, we just pray for all the teachers and the ones that prepared the food and just helping, Lord, you just thank you for them. Lord, we just pray for all of our missionaries. And Lord, we just pray for our country. And Lord, we just pray for all the ones that are sick and shut-ins. You just be with them and help them. Lord, we just thank you for all the answered prayers, Lord. It's you just continue to bless and heal, Lord, if it be thy will. Lord, just be the preacher man as he stands and teaches him, just help him, give him, make it easy for him, Lord. Lord, we just pray that you forgive us all of our many sins. We ask in thy name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Does anybody need a book? Everybody get a book? Everybody got a book? All right, let's have a little review before we get started tonight. We started last night and said that the object is on page 53. That's where it talks about being consecrated, my consecration. I've preached on that before and talked about it, and I know probably everybody's familiar with, you know, there ought to be a time in our lives where we give our all to the Lord, our all on the altar, and give him our lives. And I think most of the time when we get saved, when somebody gets saved, maybe they don't realize what's expected. We don't realize what we're getting from the Lord. We don't realize what journey we're embarking upon, but we're embarking upon a journey, a walk with the Lord. So that's the goal this week. And we asked the question last night that we need to be asking ourselves, am I filled with the Spirit? The Bible says in Ephesians 5:18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That's a command in the Bible. We are to be filled with the Spirit. Not an option, but God tells us this in His Word. On page number 9, I read this last night, and I've tried to illustrate it when I dropped the balls and they both hit at the same time, no matter how much they weighed. And we said that was the force of gravity. And I said that the Holy Spirit, there's not a Holy Spirit for a preacher and a Holy Spirit for big Holy Spirit for preacher and little Holy Spirit for somebody else. He's the same to all of us and available to all of us. And it said that in this book on page 9, the very last paragraph. He said, nor is the fullness of the Spirit limited to abundant joy, love, peace, and power. It is a life, too, of abundant joy, for the joy of the Lord is our strength, of abundant long-suffering, girding us with patience under trials that we never could otherwise endure, of abundant gentleness, as Christ's own gentleness takes possession of us, of abundant goodness, abundant faith, abundant meekness, abundant self-control, that it is not meant for apostles or ministers or missionaries or teachers only, but for all of God's children is clear. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off. So, but for all of God's children, it's meant for all of us to be filled with the Spirit. And I really believe the Lord's got something for all of us to do, that we need to be filled with the Spirit in order to do it. If we just do what we can do, then we're just doing what we can do. But Christ said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. In our Christian walk, in our Christian life, if we're walking by faith and if we are, what did Jesus say over there? I read it this afternoon and it just slipped my mind, but he said, greater works will he do than I've done. What, is that in John 14 or John chapter 12? Can anybody quote that? Remember that? The works that I do, you'll do greater works. I can't remember. But anyway, how are we going to do that if the Lord doesn't? It's got to get above and beyond us. And so there's evidences in our life, abundant love, all of these things. We closed out last night saying that we need to, it says the secret of his incoming, but it's no secret. The Bible teaches us that when we're saved, we receive the Spirit of God in our life. And I referred to, and it talks about in the book 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse number 19, where he said to the Corinthians, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? So Paul, he was amazed that they didn't know this. We ought to know this. We ought to know that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives within us. Let's go to page 17, and I want to read just one little thing right there to get us started tonight. Says in the middle of the page there, he says, but someone now says, I believe that it's the Holy Ghost who's regenerated me, and that I could not be born again except by his agency, but I do not believe this is what God means by receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. And some say there's a second experience. Sometimes they talk about being baptized with the Holy Ghost, receiving the Holy Ghost, waiting upon the Holy Ghost, and all of these things. He said in that last paragraph, to this we say both yes and no. There is a fullness of the Holy Ghost, such as does not come to most Christians at conversion, and therefore is, in point of time, usually a second experience. But this is not the gift of the Holy Ghost, not the receiving of the Holy Ghost, not the baptism of the Holy Ghost, as God's Word teaches. The Holy Ghost is received once and forever at conversion. And there's been confusion. I can see why there's confusion on the terminology about the Holy Ghost. I'll just give a few examples. I love this song. This is a great song. Page 120 in the songbook. The song Old Time Power. They were in an upper chamber. They were all with one accord when the Holy Ghost descended as was promised by our Lord. That's right. That's biblical. But the chorus says this. O Lord, send the power just now. O Lord, send the power just now. O Lord, send the power just now and baptize everyone. Well, we'll look in the Bible in just a minute, but when you're saved, you're baptized with the Holy Ghost. And there's no need to go and pray over and over to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. It's a one-time thing, and it happens when you get saved. But the verses are right, but the chorus is wrong. But when you sing something and you repeat it, and that's a well-known song. We're all familiar with that. But I was reading, I had out three or four songbooks today, and the songs about the Holy Spirit, the terminology is all, you got to really be careful. Some of them are wrong. They're not, they have right thoughts. It's nice to think of, but they're just technically wrong. That send the power and baptize everyone. That's scripturally not right. There's one I found in this book, page 331. It says, "Seal us, O Holy Spirit. Seal us, O Holy Spirit. Grant us thine impress, we pray. We would be more like the Savior stamped with his image today. Seal us, seal us, seal us just now, we pray. Seal us, O Holy Spirit. Seal us for service today." He says, "Seal us, O Holy Spirit. Help us thy likeness to show. Then from our lives unto others, streams of rich blessings shall flow. Seal us, O Holy Spirit. Make us thine own from this hour. Let me be useful, dear Master. Seal us with witnessing power." Now, we looked last night in Ephesians chapter 1, and it says, when we believed. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 13. After that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We're baptized in the Holy Spirit when we get saved. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit when we get saved. Now, if you took that song, and I think you could really do this, change "seal us" to "fill us," that would be doctrinally correct. It'd be right to say, "Let me be useful, dear Master. Fill us with witnessing power," because that's what the filling of the Holy Spirit is for, is for witnessing power. And the whole song would be good. "Fill us, fill us, fill us just now, we pray. Fill us, O Holy Spirit, fill us for service today." That'd be right. But it's one word, and here's how people are. "Oh, seal us, fill us, it don't make no..." Well, it does make a difference. It's a difference between being confused and being right according to the Bible. And he talks about using proper terminology. Some of the old songs, a lot of the old preachers, they use all of that interchangeably. They'll talk about being filled with the Spirit, baptized with the Spirit, all these, just mixing all this terminology up. So I can see how people are confused, but we need not be confused on this. Page 18, about the fourth sentences or fourth line down, 1, 2, 3, 4, where it says, "At Pentecost." It says, "At Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came down to empower the church with the Holy Ghost. Wherefore, as each one of us by faith becomes a member of that body, we're baptized with the same Spirit that dwells in that body. We receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We cannot too clearly lay hold of this, for our deceitful natural heart is all too quick to take refuge in prayer and waiting to receive. Thus, dodging the real issue, which is an absolute surrender to Him who has been received." And so, you know, we can wait around and pray, and it says our nature, our deceitful heart, it'd be easier to wait on God to do something than for us just to go ahead and do what we need to do, and that's surrender, absolute surrender to Him. Let me just show you, if you've got your Bibles, let's keep our place there. Just a quick little thing, probably easier to start in Matthew, but just to point out how really clear this is, this thing being baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's very clear what the Bible teaches. Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 11. And this is the message of John the Baptist. He said in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And there's very similar. Mark chapter 1 and verse 8. He said, I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Says the same thing in Luke and says the same thing in John. But look over in Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. And this is the only place, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the book of Acts chapter 1 is the only place in the Bible you find the phrase, baptize you with the Holy Ghost. So it's a very specific thing that it's talking about. And in Acts chapter number 1, and I didn't turn there myself, but look what the Bible says. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 5, or verse number 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. Now I've heard people teach, preach, that in order to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to wait. You need to, it might take a day, it might take a month, it might take years, but where are they getting that from? They're getting that from where he told them to go and wait. But he didn't tell us to go and wait, he told them to go and wait. They had to wait for the day of Pentecost. But that's where you get that, well, you need to wait, and people come to the altar and be instructed to just... But that's not what this is teaching us in Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. Verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So they were very close to being baptized with the Holy Ghost. And it takes place, Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 1. The Bible said, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And on this day, the day of Pentecost, the church was endued with power from on high. This was the baptism of the Holy Spirit upon the church there. And we find it one more time in Acts chapter number 11. We'll just quickly go through some of these. Acts chapter 11 and verse 14. And the book of Acts, there is a transition from Old Testament believers to New Testament believers. Some of them Old Testament believers became New Testament, became part of the church. And so there's things happening in the book of Acts that do not happen today. That's what I'm trying to say. The finishing, the completing of the Word of God. They had signs. God gave them signs because they didn't have the Bible we've got. God gave them signs to confirm. Well, we've got the Word of God. We live by faith. We don't need those signs. We've got the Bible. But anyway, Peter's preaching here and says in Acts 11 and 15, and as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized you with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. So when they were saved, they were baptized with the Holy Ghost. They received the Holy Ghost. And I don't think I pushed that all the way too. But look back in Acts chapter 2 and verse 4 where it said, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. From this point on, the emphasis for what we would say the Lord's work, church work, was on them being filled, not being baptized. said in Acts 4, and they were all filled, or Acts 2 and 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And Acts chapter 4 and verse number 8, it said, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel." In chapter 4 and verse 31, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." You find the filling of the Holy Ghost, you find prayer, and you find powerful witnessing, bold witnessing. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is not to feel good. It's not to shout. It's not to be emotionally stirred. And you may be emotionally stirred and shout and feel good and all of those things, but in the Bible, when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, it was to have power in witnessing. And boy, do we need that today. We need power to witness. People are just like they always have been. They're dead in trespasses and sins. They're not interested. They're lost. And so they need to hear from God, and we need power. "And they spake the word of God with boldness." And chapter 6 and verse number 3, it said, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." So that you could tell. Could they not tell that they was some men that was full of the Holy Ghost? He said, you need to find men like that and appoint them. And of course, that's talking about the first deacons there. So there's a, let's see, it's page 22 in this book. Top of the page, about the fourth line down again, where at the end of the sentence there, where it says the apostles. It said the apostles were again and again filled with fresh anointing, as it were, of the Spirit, but they were never baptized again. So, and we've seen that right there in the book of Acts. It'd be wrong for us to pray to be baptized with the power of the Holy Spirit, but we do need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled over and over again. We went up to chapter 6, but there's many times in the book of Acts they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And Paul tells us to be filled with the Spirit. And he said, "Nor are any converts who have received the Spirit in regeneration ever said thereafter to be baptized with Him." The reason is clear. Baptism was plainly an initial rite. It was administered upon entrance into the kingdom of God. And he goes on down about the very middle of the page where it says God gives to it. He said, "Two speakers using a word to which each attached a different meaning would soon land in hopeless confusion. So has it been with this great theme, and it would clear up marvelously if we would not only study God's truth upon it, but adopt His phrases in describing it, using the gift, the receiving, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, exactly as He Himself does in His own inspired word." So he says if we'd use the phrases God uses, we wouldn't be confused. And so we do need to use that. The baptism of the Holy Ghost came at salvation. The sealing of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, all of that comes when we get saved. The filling of the Holy Spirit, we're going to get into right now what that means. Look on page number 23. He says to recapitulate. We believe God's Word teaches, and there's five things here, and this is what we've covered so far: that every believer has received the Holy Ghost, the gift of the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Every believer has received that. Secondly, he said that the simple secret of his thus incoming is repentance and faith. How do we get the Holy Spirit? We repent of our sins, put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we're saved, we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We're sealed with the Holy Ghost. We're baptized with the Holy Ghost. All those things. Number three, that there is a fullness of the Holy Ghost greater than that usually thus received at conversion. We'll talk a little bit more about that. And then he said that there are certain conditions of this fullness different from the conditions on which the Holy Ghost is received. That is, one may receive the Holy Ghost, yet not know his fullness. And then number five, he said that the secret of his fullness is what? Now, before we go on, does anybody have any questions about anything we've covered so far? Okay, he said that the secret of his fullness is what? And you turn the page, and he said the secret of his fullness, yielding to Christ. That's the secret to being filled with the Holy Spirit, is to yield ourselves. And he gives three verses, Romans 6:13. Yield yourselves unto God. That word yield means to give up possession of, on claim or demand. And so the Lord comes along and he says, Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So, and notice in the Bible, God doesn't make us. He says, I beseech you therefore. Yielding is our will submitted to his will. Not my will, but thine be done. Even Christ on the cross yielded. And then he gives Romans 1:1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. It means being a servant. Not doing what I want to do. I'm going to do what the Lord wants me to do. He's my master. And so we turn the page there. The secret of his fullness. And I'm not going to read verbatim all of this, but I was talking about it again tonight. It's a book that definitely takes some meditating on, digesting to get the gist of it. But let's just read them first two paragraphs there. He said, granted then that we have received the Holy Ghost, that we have been baptized with him, that he has come into our lives to abide forever. What then is the secret of his fullness, of his abundant life of peace, power, and love? He says, we answer, the absolute, unqualified surrender of our life to God to do his will instead of our own. Thus, when we surrender our sins and believe, we receive the Holy Spirit. When we surrender our lives and believe, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. The receiving of the Spirit is God's answer to repentance and faith. The fullness of the Spirit is God's answer to surrender and faith. At conversion, the Spirit enters, and at surrender, the Spirit, already entered, takes full possession. The supreme human condition of the fullness of the Spirit is a life wholly surrendered to God to do His will. This is true. And so, the secret of His fullness is, think of all them invitational songs we sing. And many times don't even think of what they mean. But, and I've heard and I've said too, a lot of them make hypocrites out of us. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live. That's key right there. It's not a secret. We all know it by heart. Don't we know those songs? What's another one? Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? I can't remember the rest. Does the Spirit control? What does that say?
308 or 9 or somewhere in that.
Which one?
Right, the red book.
Right,
the last
309.
Somewhere right there. Yeah. Oh, right at the last. Lowly.
Oh, very, very nice. .407. Yeah. Yeah, it's about the third of the last song. You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase and have earnestly, fervently prayed, but you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. So the secret's not a secret. It's just not applied very much. And we sing the song sometimes and don't think of what it's talking about. Would you walk with the Lord in the light of his word and have peace and contentment always? You must do his sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar your all you must lay. He says, oh, we never can know what the Lord will bestow of the blessings for which we have prayed, till our body and soul he doth fully control, and our all on the altar is laid. And he said, who can tell all the love he will send from above, and how happy our hearts will be made of the fellowship sweet we shall share at his feet when our all on the altar is laid. And so the key is a yielding completely, totally, wholly unto the Lord. And he begins to give reasons here. Reasons how we can know that this is what we need to do in order to have the fullness of the Spirit. And we'll get through some of them here tonight. We need to get through most of them if we're going to get done with the whole book. But number one, he said, in reason, in our mind, all the clouds that have been hindering the clear outshining of this great truth into our soul will vanish away before him who will ponder carefully the great scriptural experimental truth of the twofold nature of the believer. And the twofold nature of the believer, that's something we've all heard teaching on and preaching on. We have, everybody in the world has their old nature. We have our sinful nature. We have our, what we're born with. We've sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're born away from God, apart from God. Dead in our trespasses and sins. But when we get saved and the Holy Spirit comes in, we immediately become a possessor of a new nature. And that's because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in there. And I don't know. Of course, I go to my church and I'm the one that preaches, so I know what I preach on. But it seems to me like you don't hear a lot of emphasis on this twofold nature and this struggle between the old man and the new man. But when I read and hear preaching from long, long time ago, there's a lot of emphasis on that. And it needs to be emphasized because it is a Bible truth. And I've talked about it. And over there in Romans chapter 7, that's where I wish I could memorize that. But Paul says, I want to do, but I can't do. And when
what
I would
is it
do
that
good.
I do that I do not.
Yeah.
Tongue twister.
Yeah. What I would do, I cannot do when I want to
do
good.
I do.
Yeah. I find that evil is present with me. There's a twofold nature. I guess the most well known illustration for that is where the missionary went to the Indian that had gotten saved. And I've heard it several different ways, but you know, he was trying to relate to him and didn't really know the language between them. It's pretty limited. And he said, well, how's it going since you got saved? And the chief said, well, there's two dogs living inside of me. There's the white dog and there's the black dog. And one wants to do good and one wants to do bad. And the missionary said, well, which one's winning? And he said, the one I feed the most. And so
that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
The one I feed the most. And so we've all experienced that. He says on page 27, I thought this was really good. He said, the middle of the page, the middle of that paragraph, he said, wherefore the question now is, having two natures within him, how shall he be filled with one of them? How shall he know the fullness and abundant life of the Spirit and be delivered from the life and power of the flesh? The answer is clear. How else could he be filled save by yielding himself wholly to that one which would have filled him? He has the power of choice. He can yield himself to either. It is not clear that whatever life he yields himself to, that will fill him. And what he's saying there, whoever we yield to, that's the one we're going to be filled with. He gives scripture. When we yield to the flesh, Romans 6:19, we're filled with all unrighteousness. When we yield to the Spirit, we're filled with the Spirit. It's the one we yield to. It's the one we live for. And I love this illustration. He says, it is as though the sweet, fresh air of springtime should enter a tin-roomed house full of foul odors. You open up one chamber to it, but leave the rest closed and in possession of the old, fetid atmosphere. Truly, the pure air has entered, but how can it fill the house until you yield that house wholly to it, throwing open every nook and cranny to its fragrant breath? And I thought that's a pretty good illustration. If you had an old house out here and you was trying to, it'd been closed up for a long time and you wanted to live in it again, and you went in and it had all these rooms in it and had been closed up, you could open up the front door and it'd fill up that room with the fresh air. But until you went to all the rooms and opened all the doors, the fresh air wouldn't fill the house. You'd have to open up the whole thing and let the air get in and circulate. And that's where, I don't know that I can put a percentage on it, but probably the majority of saved Christian people, they've opened up several rooms maybe, but they may still have several rooms that be like, well, Lord, let's not go in that room. Sister Wendy Arnold, Brother Phil and Sister Wendy, she's got a song, and I can't remember exactly, but it talks about that. There's a room in my heart where even I don't go. There's a place in there, and she says that I don't even want to go. But then in the song, she opens up that room to the Lord, and he comes in and cleans out. And so most everybody, you know, there's a room, there's a place, there's a thing, you know, that, oh, Lord, you can have all of this. And, you know, I want all this, but I want to keep this little secret room. And there's a part. Well, you can't be filled. Might be.
Don't you think a lot of us out there in that condition?
Yeah, that's what I say.
I find myself there a time every once in a while. I have to go back and confess and repent.
Yep. I think. And the thing about it is,
you're talking about having it abundantly. You're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
You can have partially, but you can't have it abundantly unless you give wholly, give it abundantly, everything.
Right.
That's where that great warfare between the spirit and the flesh comes in.
Yeah.
I have trouble with a few things. I'm always keeping the flesh crucified. I have to laugh with that once in a while. I catch myself if I've done something or said something or done something that wasn't right.
Right.
And I think it's on this thing here. It's some more about it. Well, anyhow. And you'll get to that for what to do about it.
Right.
Later there.
I found a verse today. I was studying that word field. And it's over in John chapter 12 and verse number 3. And I thought this is a good picture of being filled with the Holy Spirit too. But it said, Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. And boy, if we could get the odor of the Spirit of God in our lives where it is so evident. You know how it is. I thought about bringing some of Kim's hairspray. It wouldn't take but just a little bit, and everybody in here, you'd know what that means. The house was filled. I walked through there. This she's got this time is pretty good. It smells pretty good, but she's had something about choke you to death, and I wouldn't do that to you, but she's got some new, and I said, boy, that smells pretty good, sort of fruity or whatever. You know how it is when there's something like that, and it just fills the room. That's how the Spirit of God ought to be in our lives. It ought to fill every nook, every cranny, and it depends on us being yielded. So, number one, in reason, well, that just makes sense. That just makes sense. And of course, we'd have to yield to Him. He's the Holy Spirit. He's not going to bless and fill where there's unrighteousness. So we are totally, it's not, Lord, I'll give a little and you give a little. We got to give it all. There's nothing good in us anyway. We got to give it all. All surrender, all to Him. He's the Holy Spirit. He will not bless a mess. Number two, in Revelation, and He just means here, this is what the Word of God teaches. And He gives many different verses, but He makes a real good point in the last part of this. He talks about Romans chapter 5 and Romans chapter 6. There's a book, I guess Harold Seitler wrote the book, and I think the name of the book is The Twofold Nature. And it's about Romans chapter number 6, and where it talks there about yield yourselves unto God. But in Romans chapter 5, in verse number 5, it says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." In Romans chapter 5, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Chapter 5 is talking about being saved, being justified. Receive the Holy Spirit of God. And then in chapter number 6, we learn that we're to yield. And I'll not take time to go through the whole chapter there, but that verse, the whole chapter deals with it, about us dying to self. But verse 13, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin." Unto sin. Don't yield unto that which is unrighteous, "but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." And so He makes the case here in the book on page number 29. He said that is, as soon as the believer, justified by faith, has received the Holy Ghost, he is urged to yield himself to God wholly and absolutely. Why? Because Paul knows the twofold nature of the believer, knows that with whatsoever he would be filled, to that he must yield. Knows that if he would be filled with the Spirit, he must yield to Him, or otherwise he will go on living in the power and fullness of the flesh. And there in the bold letters it says, "Thus, the absolute yielding of our lives to God is the first great step after conversion urged in His Word." Now, as a preacher, I think to myself, I'm reminded in studying this, You know, when somebody gets saved, we need to encourage them, teach them, lead them, impress upon them. It ought to be preached along with not just, you need to get saved, you need to get saved, you need to give your life to the Lord. And there's a lot of books and things on easy believism. You know, come on down and don't, just come as you are. And the Bible message is repentance toward God, faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. We're coming to receive a Savior, yes, but He's our Lord and Savior. We're giving our lives to Him. He's taken our lives. And a lot of people go away disappointed because they don't go on. They don't grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't be happy. That song we were singing.
I think sometimes the ball is dropped. Once we think we get them saved and then they're just supposed to know what to do.
Yeah.
But that's not the way.
A lot of them hasn't been in church. So
I know.
Yeah.
And I feel like when I got saved, I was in church, but I don't remember anybody just helping me,
Right.
To learn how to read the Bible and to, I think there ought to be a class for new converts. Really.
Yeah. I'd never seen or thought about that. Our church in England, though, had a class for new converts. And it was really good, because there's things you need to learn when you get saved. And it's not that there's a lack of material or anything, because it's...
You just don't know.
Yeah. And so that is true. Anybody else got anything? So, yielding, it's in reason. That just makes sense. Of course, that's right. In Revelation. And then number three, the experience of God's children. The experience of God's children. It talks here about, is it not true of all of you, beloved, who walk the pathway of the blessed life? The Holy Spirit painted in your secret soul pictures of a walk with God which persistently refused to fade, even amid all your failures and falling short of them. There were yearnings after a richness and fullness of life in Christ which never ceased to haunt your soul. And, I'm like Sister Shirley. I got saved. I was in church. That's good. People who get saved need to be in church, need to continue in church. But nobody took me aside and discipled me and showed me. But in my heart, all through them years, there was a yearning that they something more than this. That's real good evidence that somebody's saved, that's really saved. A lot of times people doubt, whether or not they've been saved. I can think back growing up, thinking, there's more to this. There's got to be, not that I wasn't saved, but there's just a yearning and a longing to know Him, to walk with Him. I remember I'd read my Bible and I didn't understand nothing. And I remember trying to read through the book of Romans, I just looked. I thought, well, that looks interesting to me. It must be about the Romans, and I knew a little bit about their hats, and I didn't know. I just didn't know. But there was a yearning there, a longing, that there had to be something more. And I'll tell you this, I didn't really begin to grow till I got out on my own and had to. But I was in the Air Force and went to England. And I didn't know a lot. But I went to the base chapel, and I knew that was dead. I didn't know what much was, but I knew that was dead, or deader than 4 o'clock, however dead that is. And so then I had to move downtown. I had to move off base pretty quick so Kim could come over there. I had to find a place to live. Well, there was a English Baptist church at the top of the street where we lived. And I went to it a few times. And, I mean, the chapel looked Pentecostal compared to that. I mean, it was dead. It was really dead. And, but I was sitting there, and boy, God got a hold of me. I'll never forget that. I mean, He really got a hold of me that I needed to be living for Him in a dead, I mean, I can't even describe how dead it was, but if I'd have been shouting at that time, I'd have shouted, that wasn't my church. I mean, it's dead. But anyway, there was a boy. He wasn't a preacher, but I believe his name is Tony, and I believe he is full of the Spirit. And he wasn't a preacher. He wasn't a teacher. He was shy. He was geeky, what we call, you know, he's a bookworm. Pencils in his pocket, all of that stuff. But he was in the Air Force. And just very, not backwards. He was, I don't know, he wasn't from the South. I don't know if he was a Yankee or a Midwestern. You know, they don't really have any, what do we have? Our
strange ways.
No, how we talk. What's that word? Not dialect. Our accent. That's the word I was looking for. He didn't have any accent. But anyway, I had a little car, and there's two bases, Woodbridge and Bentwater, so I had to travel back and forth and back and forth. And so a lot of the guys just stand out beside the road and thumb and didn't think anything about it because it's going off the base, on the base, is all Americans or people that had business there, and they'd give you rides, and you wouldn't have to wait on the bus. Well, anyway, I picked him up. He had a briefcase, pocket full of pens, all of that stuff, and he invited me to church and gave me a tract. And that changed my life. Invited me to church. And I didn't go right then. And but boy, you talk about the Holy Ghost getting a hold of me. Now that boy had to be full of the Holy Spirit, because he gave that tract to me, and I'm like the old black preacher. He said, just had the church address on it, and the black fella said it done tracked me to the barn, and it tracked me to the breakfast table. And finally, and Kim and I went to that English church once or twice, not many times. And I got up one morning, I said, Kim, I can't go back up there. I said, this boy invited me to church, and it's up near the base. And I said, that's where we're going. She said, well, we don't even have time. So we didn't go that Sunday, but we went the next Sunday. And that changed our lives. And so you don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a missionary. You don't have to be a teacher. I think about that young man named Tony. God used him. But God had been working in my life all that time. There's something more.
What you just said about that is proof. The Holy Spirit enters when you're saved.
Yeah.
That longing you're talking about. What you just described, your testimony right there. What more can you say about receiving the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
When you're saved. And he's still with you.
Yeah. Because who else convicts you?
Right.
And tells you these
longing.
Yeah, that longing. Oh my goodness, it's 5. I didn't even know it was that late.
It's all right.
Yeah, that's all right. Time got gone, but let's just look at these quick. Right here's another one. The resistance of the flesh.
Yeah.
Boy, old flesh.
Time to go, baby.
Yeah, let's go eat. Yeah. It's our flesh. We'll start right there. That's too good to just fly over, but we'll start there tomorrow. The resistance of the flesh. We're close enough. We'll stay on track. Because I do want to get through the whole book. Last year, I didn't get part of the way done with everything I wanted to.